You know, we're pretty careful about removing all the leavening from our homes to observe this feast. All of us go through a process, and it is ongoing, of course. Of course, the analogy of that is strong, and something I want to focus on today is the spiritual application of these days, of doing what we're doing, because the Bible itself focuses on this. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 8 is my starting point, and that is actually where I have procured my title for this sermonette. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 8, I won't read the whole setup and follow, you know, the verses leading up to this, but just to make the point here, Paul writes to those who are keeping the feast of unleavened bread, just as we are, therefore let us keep the feast. And now comes the spiritual application, not just by not eating leavened products. He goes on to say, not with old leaven, not with the leaven of malice and wickedness. He identifies leaven with those characteristics and practices, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And sincerity and truth, brethren, are components of one of the fruits of God's Holy Spirit, and that is love. And I'd like to go now to 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8, and read some more details about love. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4, Paul writes, describing this tremendous characteristic that we must grow in. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. It's not the same word as leavened, but it has similar applications in that it's talking about being arrogant in our way of handling our lives, the way we live, not puffed up, not proud and arrogant, does not behave rudely. Again, this is the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth and love. Does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Wow. And it, in the margin, actually broadens this, I think, in a way, because it talks about the fact that love doesn't keep account of evil, of other people's mistakes, perhaps we could apply. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And then I'll stop with the opening sentence of the next verse. Love never fails. I'd like to make a point here about love, because we know from Scripture and from our own background and reading that God loves us. But God not only loves us, God gives us love. He imparts it to us. He imparts to us the ability to love. It can't be in the context of what leaven represents. It has to be in the context of what unleavening or unleavened represents. He gives us this love through His Holy Spirit. And through His Holy Spirit, we can remove the leavening of death, which is sin. And that is the penalty if we do not get that kind of leavening out of our lives spiritually. And again, I'm making the point through this brief sermonette, hopefully to get us to think about what is really being represented by the days we're keeping in the spiritual application. love of God, love of our neighbor, those two foundational pillars of all the laws of God, must be godly love. And it must be the kind of love that is outgoing. But emphasizing again the fact that God actually imparts his love to us, not that he just loves us, but he imparts that characteristic so that we can be like him. Romans 5 and verse 5, Paul writes again in Romans 5 and verse 5, "Now hope does not disappoint." Why? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. Poured out. You know, you think a big pail of water and you pour it out. Well, even in a greater sense, God literally is willing to pour out his Holy Spirit, his love. And if we receive his love to become like God, we must be using that love in our own lives. Brethren, our unleavened bread that we're partaking of is symbolic of perfection, but of specifically the perfection of God himself. 1 John 2 and verse 5. 1 John 2 and verse 5, "But whoever keeps his word," this is a message to us, "whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him, and by this we know that we are in him, and he in us." Perfected, it's a process, brethren. As we heard from Mr. Link, you know, asking the question, why so many days for unleavened bread? Why 7 days? Well, it reflects a process of coming out of sin. Matthew 5 and verse 48. This very familiar scripture for most of us who have been in the church, are in the church. Matthew 5 and verse 48. "Therefore you shall be perfect." And to understand that, probably a little more clearly, "you shall become perfect." It's a process again of putting sin out of our lives, leavening out of our lives, but now we're at a point where we're not just having had put it out, but rather we're at a point where we should be living actually without leavening in our lives, struggling to not let anything crop up. "Just as your Father in heaven is perfect," that's how we are to grow in our calling. Now, how is God perfect? Well, in all ways, but in particular in the aspect of love, because we can know from reading 1 John 4:16 without turning there that God is love. That's the way he chooses to reveal himself. Now, we have a record about love in action, about people who are living as unleavened individuals. And this is shown through conduct within the very body of Christ, the Church of God. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and I'd like there read verses 2 and 3. First Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 2. I need to be in First Thessalonians, not second. "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." He's talking to the brethren here. "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father." Paul's talking here about the way the brethren were living, how he was inspired by that church and by their actions. They were getting and keeping the leavening out, spiritually speaking. Let's go to Philemon chapter 1, and this is really kind of an interesting book, a personal letter from Paul to Philemon. And there's a little bit of a problem because evidently, as you read the introduction to this, they give a little background and rationale and reasoning that this Philemon was a slave who ran away from the owner of a slave who ran away and was working with Paul and had become converted and now was a great assistance. But notice what Paul says and how he appeals to Philemon here, and we'll begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 1. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your home. It wasn't a big synagogue of some sort, but the church in Philemon's home. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all of the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. And this is his long introduction in a very short letter. But he is making a point. He was reaching out to people who were called out of this world, who were part of the church of God. He was addressing and acknowledging how they were living righteously and living within the love of God. Let's go to 3 John and pick up another example. John here addresses Gaius, and he goes through very much similar things in what we've just been reading about the church and how they were living, taking in and building spiritual fruits. In verse 5, beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers. And then he goes on to talk about how they are reinforcing and helping people on their way. You know, brethren, as I look back over the years and look through the recent years and months, I could see a very similar thing going on in the Church of God, and that's each of us reinforcing one another in love, growing in love, stumbling here and there. Some of us do that more, some of us do it less, but we all do it for certain. And I just want to kind of extend thanks and praise to you for being faithful, for hanging in, for supporting what Jesus Christ is accomplishing through us. We're able to do things way beyond our skill level, perhaps because of that. And kind of conclude as Paul concludes, he had just pretty much scolded the people he was writing to in the book of Hebrews in chapter 6. Warning them, you know, said, well, look, you should be way ahead of where you are now. But then he comes back and extends this to the people of that time to remind us not to lose heart, not to stumble and fall and not get up, but to absolutely hang on to the tremendous goal that's set before us. In verse 10 of Hebrews 6, for God is not unjust to forget your work. He isn't. Your work, my work, all of us in doing the work of God, and labor of love, which is the way we should approach this work, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Well, we've got some days ahead of us in this feast. And I will just leave you with this encouragement. Let us keep the feast.